again.
I tell them about the day.
I tell them about the day.
I tell them about the day that I walked across dry sand.
Thank you. last Twinkies today. That's good, huh? All right. All right, good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And you are in Bethel Baptist Church, amen? It looks a lot different. Yesterday at 10 o'clock, there was nothing in this auditorium, no pews, no chairs, no carpet. And 9 o'clock last night, this is what it looked like. So praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. And another praise, all the old pews are gone. All God's people said, amen. And I don't have to take them to the dump. Praise the Lord. Somebody came and got them, and then last night or yesterday we delivered the last four broken ones. So, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We are so excited about what the Lord has done and what He's going to do. We're not finished yet. Still got a lot to do. Especially we'll have our new pulpit. We just need to paint it and stain it. The communion table, the stairs, finish the back of the auditorium, finish the carpet, and so hopefully by next week. Hopefully, it'll all be done. Amen. But I sure appreciate your prayers, and thank you, all of you that came and helped. We could not have done it without you, every single person. It took a host of people. So thank you. Thank you very much. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. One more thing. Please don't bring any drinks or food inside the auditorium. Okay? Amen. They say, well, I'm going to bring my high C. No, don't bring your high C, all right? Grape juice. Please don't do that. Brand new carpet. The chairs were $32,000, just the chairs. And so we want to keep them as nice as we can, okay? So if you'll do that for us, that would be great. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning. Dear Father, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. God, for all the work that's been done. And dear Father, this facility and this church, the church meets in this place. And God, the building, though, God, we want it to represent you, how great a God you are. God, you're the creator of all things. You're the savior of mankind and those that will receive you as their savior. And God, you've prepared for a place for us in heaven. But God, thank you for helping us. And I pray that you might continue to give us the financial help and the physical work that we might and the mental power to be able to get things done. I pray for next week, God, as we celebrate 70 years on this property, and God, what you've done. And I thank you for our people being here. Pray that you might bless our service today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Turn to page 172. New hymn books. Amen. New hymn books. Page 172. We'll sing Just Over in Glory Land. First, third, and fourth.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, they'll join the mighty host throne. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, what a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see. Just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be. In the glory land, just over in the glory land, join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over
may be seated. Turn over to back to page number 28. Page number 28. Great is thy faithfulness. God so faithful. We'll sing all three verses of this one this morning. Seated. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Well, if you pick up a bulletin, I hope you'll be back tonight. Regular services at 6 o'clock. Then we will have finished, hopefully, this week, the foyer and the rest of the platform and the stage and everything. Pray for us, and if you can help us, give me a call, and maybe there's something you can help us with to finish up. And then this week, Wednesday night, Bible preaching and prayer. And then Saturday, Operation Saturation, bus visitation at 10. Starting Sunday, anniversary week. God's been good to this church, 70 years, praise the Lord. And four pastors, and I'm the only living one, so you have to put up with me, amen. but praise the Lord, we're just going to celebrate what God's been so good. This church, and still good, but Sunday morning, we'll have Brother Stowe with us. We'll have a witness group from Heartland Baptist Bible College. We'll also have the Calvary Trio from Eufaula. They'll all be with us. But we'll have Sunday school. Then at 11 o'clock, Brother Davison will be with us, and we'll have lunch for everybody. Then we'll have a 2 p.m. service with Brother Davison and the witness and Calvary's trio. We'll have testimonies on what God has done for us. And just a time, no evening service then. And then on Monday night, we'll start at 6:30. We're going to let the Calvary Trio sing a little longer, but 6:30 on Monday night, Brother Davison, then Tuesday morning at 9, have 3 preachers, then lunch, and then Tuesday night, Wednesday night, will be our revival, finishing up with Brother Davison. Hope you'll be here. Hope you'll be here. It's going to be a great time. We do want to be a blessing to God's servants, so if you can buy a $25 gift card, if every family would do that, and we'll give you a thank you note, write a note to a preacher encouraging them to continue in the things of the Lord, that would be great. Let's see, anything else? No food or drinks, of course, in the auditorium. But thank you for being here this morning. Good to see Janelle. Where did you go, Janelle? Good to see you. Are you running yet? Amen. Amen. It's good to see you. All right, let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering. Thank you. your place this morning? All right.
Where's our books?
All right. Brother Joel, turn this up just a little bit. All right. We're still working on this. This wire got cut, so this is not usable anymore. But appreciate you being here, Brother Josh. Good to have Brother Josh. And since you've seen him, his family has grown. His wife's had four more kids. No, they adopted four. And Brother Josh, I think he said he started coming here when you were 16, 15, 16. And that's all the marks all over everything and everything. somebody came by and got the last four pews, the broken pews, and we turned the last one up, and I saw two things of bubble gum, and I said, that's probably my bubble gum, because my mom, that was the cardinal sin to be caught in church with bubble gum. She hated that, so I'd take it, put it there for the next thing, then I'd take it out and chew it. Anyway, I appreciate Brother Glore and what he's doing there in Hastings, and so Brother Glore, it's good to have you, and we're excited about your family growing. And it's what an awesome thing to have an influence in the lives of little kids. Amen. It wouldn't have that opportunity. So ask the Lord to bless the offering.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we love you. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, thank you for the great things that are going on here at Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, I just pray that as they do the offering here this morning, that you just take it, bless it, and use it, and bless the gift of the giver as well.
Yeah.
Continue. Amen. Let's all stand one more time. Turn to page 23. Page 23, to God be the glory. We'll sing all three verses of this one this morning. Page number 23.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So long to the world that He gave us His Son, who lived His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life that all may go in.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the
singing. You may be seated.
I've seen things along the way. I've seen some trouble in my short days, but through it all, I have no fear. I have a friend who's always near. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't that deny, 'cause I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes.
Sometimes the way seems bleak, 'cause we are human and we are weak. But take it from me, when the road seems rough, He's there to pick you up. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, 'cause I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, 'cause I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes, what never changes.
I guess that's why the Bible says Jesus Christ the same, amen, never changes. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start up, probably get myself into trouble here. Do you ever notice that you can look at something and men and women look at it totally different? It's like, I don't see that at all. Yeah, but... I ran across this. A guy walks into a brain store to buy a brain. The shopkeeper asks him what he could do for him, and the man says, I'd like to buy a brain, please. The shopkeeper says, well, I've got two to choose from. First is the man's brain. It's going for $10,000. Secondly, I have a woman's brain, and it's at $1,000. $1,000. The guy replies, you got to be kidding. Why is the man's brain so expensive? The shopkeeper says, well, sir, it's hardly used. Some of you women were, Sister Stint, anyway. But it says men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. And we have boxes everywhere. And the rule is, don't touch the boxes. Women's brains are made up of one big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. It's like the internet superhighway. And it's driven by energy we call emotion. So we men, we put them in boxes, don't touch the boxes, but women, everything's connected to everything. So I better stop, better get out of trouble. Anyway, all right, turn your Bibles two places, Colossians chapter number 1, and then Revelation chapter number 4, and if you found those, if you find those two places, if you'll stand in reverence and love of God's Word, look at these two this morning. Our theme this year is continue. We should have our banners up next week. And God wants us just to continue because, of course, Jesus Christ the same. But many people says, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why were we created? So we can live our lives, so we can get money, so we can have a job, so everybody can know our name, so we can play football or basketball, or you know, have a great job, have a great house, have a family. Is that the reason why we were created? And I see in the Word of God there's only a few reasons why we were created. God does everything on purpose. God is a God of planning, a God of purpose. Everything is by His design. And in Colossians chapter number 1, and we looked at this last week, but look in verse 16. For by Him, that's Jesus Christ, for by Him were all things created. So you can look at the person on your right, your left, and front, back, and say they were created by God. Now I know sometimes we say, were they? But yes, they were. They were created by God. And it says that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Let's all say the next three words. And aren't you glad? You were created by God, but you were created for God. You weren't created by God for a job or for a name or for a sport. You were created by God for God, for His pleasure, for Him. Now go to Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11, last verse of chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created how many things? All things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter what your last name is, how tall you are, how short you are, how much you weigh. Praise the Lord. You were created by God and for His pleasure. But because of that, in that verse, God's worthy to receive glory and honor and power because He is our Creator. And He's created all things and He's created us for Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You this morning. Dear Father, we certainly love You and thank You for all that You've done in this place, on this property, for the last 70 years. God, we're going to start our 71st year, and what You've done in the hearts of lives of people and marriages and kids that come in off the bus and people. And God, You've done wonderful, wonderful things. You've changed their lives and put homes back together and just helped people and given them the truth that's been preached from this pulpit. God, I pray that You might continue to bless this lighthouse. Help us to continue the same light for a lost and dying world. So help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, we were created by God and for God. Go back to Psalm 50. Psalm chapter number 50. Look at this morning. Psalm 50, verse number 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. So, God is doing the speaking. He's the speaker. And it says, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. So, He's got the whole earth. He's talking and he's talking to the whole earth out of Zion. And the perfection of beauty God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather My saints together unto Me, those that have made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. So either you're a saint or you ain't. Amen. A lot of people say, "Yeah, I'm a saint," but probably not. You probably ain't. But a saint isn't a perfect person. A saint is one that's saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's righteousness covers our wickedness and our sinfulness, His righteousness. So he's talking to His saints, and He says, "And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself." Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad there's not a man on the throne? I don't have to be judged by another man, another preacher, somebody else. Now, my mama was my judge. And I've told my wife, I said, if I needed a mother, then God would have kept her here. She goes, no, when she left, I took her place. I said, no. You know, wife, not a mother. So She's working on that. Anyway, so God is my judge. And it says, verse 7, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." So he's saying, I am your God. "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullocks out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills." So he owns the hills, he owns the cattle that are upon the hills. "I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" You know, Israel was doing all the outward and the sacrifices, and they were saying, this is going to please God. But you know, God, they were thinking the sacrifice in and of itself will please God. He's saying, that's not what pleases me. You offering that out of a heart of gratitude and thanks and praise, that's what God sees. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want us to come to church, open our hymn books, sing, pray, do. No. He wants to see the heart. He says, I own everything. It's not the beast and the sacrifices that in and of itself, but in an attitude and a heart of love and devotion and gratitude, you come and offer that unto me. That's what pleases God. The outward service should only be a reflection of what's on the inside. But the outside, we can drum it up. We can sure cut our hair, and we can sure carry King James Bible, and we can come to church. But the inside, God sees the heart. Why do you do the things that you do? Look what he says in the next verse. Verse number 14. "Offer unto God bulls and goats and calves," sacrifice, right? He says, offer unto God what? Thanksgiving. "And pay thy vows unto the Most High." He said, hey, yes, the sacrifice, the only reason the sacrifices please me is because it's out of a heart. It's coming from the right heart and the right attitude. And I'm coming to give honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving unto the Most High. But they were thinking, as long as I do this sacrifice, God's going to be pleased. God says, I don't need your beast. I'm not going to take anything from you. I own it all. But he wants to see the heart. And he says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Verse 15, I love this. "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will think about delivering you. And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt," what? Glorify who? Amen. So there's three reasons really that I see why we were left here. And yes, we need to establish who God is. Who is worthy to be praised? Our world's got it mixed up. They pay athletes way too much. They pay the military way too less. They ought to switch. They ought to give the military the athletes' pay and let the athletes go out and get hit for the military pay. I'm not gonna play for less than $50 million a year. Well, poor little thing. We've got a canny wampus. Who is really in authority? Who owns it all? Who is worthy to? Well, he is, because he can do that. He ought to be praised because he has this money. Hey, all of it, there's nobody in here any better than anybody else. I don't care how much money you are. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what you can do. My son can lift a little bit more than I can now. Used to be I could lift way more than him. But now I can lift 10 and he can lift 20. And then I can lift 40 and he can lift 60. Then I can lift 80 and he can lift 100. But he's no better than I am. I'm no better than he is. If you got more, you probably got more money than I do. That doesn't make you any better than me. We're all, the ground at the cross is level for all of us. So who is worthy to be praised? Well, you have to establish it. Look in Matthew chapter number 11, really quick. Matthew chapter 11, this morning in verse number 25. Matthew 11, verse number 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Established it right there. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me. So the Father is the Lord of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son, but the Father knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So God the Father is the heaven of everything, and he's given it to his Son. So who's the supreme being? The Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, a few pages over, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I think that pretty well covers it. I don't think there's any place else rather than heaven and earth. Hey, Jesus Christ said, hey, all power, all authority belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of our service. And so he is the one who is supreme. So because of that, then we ought to offer thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory from the heart. We don't have to bring sacrifices. Just being here in church, in and of itself, God does, oh, I'm so glad. Why'd you come? Why are you here? It ought to be out of a heart, God, thank you. God, I want to praise and worship and glorify you. That's what this church represents. Not the Swopes, not anybody else, not a person, but the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, in 2 Timothy, in the last days, the Bible says, perilous times shall come. And 2 Timothy 3 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. Oh, yeah, I love myself, but unthankful. So there's really three things that we owe the Lord. Why are you here? Why were you created? Why did God create us? For three reasons. Number one, to love Him. He wants a relationship with us. He wants fellowship with us. Look over in, go to Genesis. The first two people on earth was Adam and Eve. And it says that they walked in the cool of the evening in Genesis chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. The very first two humans upon the earth God had fellowship with. He was in their presence. He wanted their fellowship. He wanted a relationship with them. And God loves us and He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to honor Him and love Him. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When I wanted to get married, I just didn't want some pretty lady sitting in my house. I wanted a relationship with a young lady. And I met her. Miss Wonderful. She met Mr. Wonderful. And Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful got married. And it's been wonderful for 30-some years. Wonderful. But there's a relationship. Why do you have an animal? I mean, some people have an animal, they stuff it and they put it up on their wall. Usually with stuff sticking out of their head, you know, they look what I killed. You know, I mean, But most of us don't stuff our cats and dogs and put them in the corner. You may. I don't know. I'd like to stuff some cats. Anyway, but why do you have animals? Because of the relationship. There's fellowship. You come in, my girls, oh, there's Tucker. Oh, how you doing, Tucker? You know, Dad, he's having a bad day. Really? Oh, Dad, he wants to go outside. Really? No. You have a relationship. I love my dogs better. Cooper. Come here, Cooper. Yeah, Cooper wags his tail. There's fellowship there. With a cat, I ran across this. Dogs have owners. Cats have staff. This saying highlights the difference between the loyal, obedient nature of dogs and the independent, aloof behavior of cats, which suggests the cats view humans as servants to cater to their needs rather than masters. That's exactly right. That's Bible truth right there. Dogs are devoted. Cats view themselves as royalty and humans as assistants. Cats are often perceived as independent, demanding, and selective about attention, whereas dogs are generally more eager to please. That's right out of the Bible. That's gospel truth, I'm telling you. But you have an animal because you want the fellowship. You want the relationship, and you get married because you want the fellowship and the relationship. God created you to have a relationship with Him. And that's more than just, oh, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to have a relationship with God. No, every single day, you ought to let Him talk to you, and you ought to talk to God. That's a relationship. If you're married, your wife talks and talks and talks. And then you talk back. There's a relationship. There's fellowship. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to love Him and serve Him. Look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Thou art worthy, our Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. God wants. And we were created by God and for God to have a relationship. And you can only have that, you can start that relationship when you get saved. Are you 100% sure if you die, you go to heaven? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by a church, not by good works. It's only by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Praise the Lord. So He wants a relationship with us. Number two, He wants us to serve Him. We ought to love Him to promise, but we ought to serve. We ought to pledge our service. Well, you expect me to pledge my service? Mm-hmm. Do you have a job? If the interview comes and you go in someplace and sit down and the owner or the one that's interviewing says, would you like to work here?
Uh-huh.
Well, when can you work? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can show up. Well, are you willing to work? I don't know. It depends on what it is. You think you're going to get the job? No. All right. Would you like to work here?
Yeah.
Well, I just want the free food, but I'll work here, you know? I want to work at McDonald's. Anyway, I will work here. What hours can you work? I plan to work 8. Can you work 8 to 5? Yes, sir. Guess what? You just pledged your service. I mean, they can tell you what to do from 8 to 5. And if they tell you, if they say, take out the trash, hey, I didn't sign up. What are they going to say? Well, just go home. We'll send you your last check now. No, you're pledging your service to somebody on earth, to a man, to somebody your equal, saying, I will work for you. I will serve you. I'll give you this much amount of time. But do we do that with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Seriously, we have to serve the Lord? Servant is mentioned 491 times in the Bible. Servant. And I see, I wouldn't say most famous, but some of the greatest humans in the Bible, I would say, God says, my servant Abraham, my servant Moses, my servant Caleb, my servant Jacob, my servant David, my servant Job. These are guys that God says something good about. And these are the guys that said, hey, these are my servants. So God wants us to love Him. God wants a relationship, but God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to live for Him. Look in Revelation chapter 22. What are we going to be doing for all eternity? Look how we're termed in Revelation chapter 22 in verse number 3. The Bible says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. That's in eternity. That's when all this is gone. Heaven and earth shall pass away. You're either in heaven or in the lake of fire. So what are we going to be doing forever? Serving the Lord. Serving the one that's worthy of all honor and glory and praise. The one that created us to serve Him. Look in Revelation 21. Verses 14, let's see, no, 22. Sarah, I can't read your writing. Oh, no. 21, verse number 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God wants us to serve Him, and God wants us to honor. That's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. He wants us to serve, and we ought to serve Him now. Out of a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. Just like God said, I'm not so worried about the sacrifices in and of themselves, but out of a heart, man, you ought to love the Lord. The Lord's been so good to us. So we ought to, love God that's promised, a service that is pledged, number 3, for a loyalty that's vowed. Loyalty, it's vowed. That's giving glory to God. That's that. Hey, I'm going to serve Him forever. Say, your dad was a pastor of this church for 41 years? Yes. So you're pastoring it because he pastored it? No. I'm pastoring it because I want to pastor it. Because God's given me the opportunity to pastor it. I want to serve the Lord. I want to give my tithes and offerings. I want to live for Him. I want to serve my Savior. Same Savior that my dad had, yet, but I'm not doing it for dad. I'm doing it for Almighty God. When 15 years ago, when I met with the men, and they had their 2,550 questions. Are you going to do this, 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 and this? And Brother Paget looked at me and he says, are you going to pastor Bethel Baptist Church because your dad wants you to? And I said, no. I understand He's my dad, and I understand if He wants me to or not, but I want to do it because God wants me to. I mean, dad could be dead wrong, human being, but I want to, and he goes, well, that's good enough for me. Praise the Lord. They went down from 2000 to 20. Anyway, but for we were created by God and for God. Everything that we do ought to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 23. How wonderful is the glory of God? Listen to this. In the future, and the city, the new city of Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. How many of you need a flashlight in the sunlight in the middle of the day? No, because you have the sun up there. And the glory of God is so much brighter and so much more magnificent than the physical sun. And God said, for all eternity, you're not going to need the sun or the moon or the stars. the glory of God is going to lighten everything, because that is, I mean, it's vast, it's wonderful, the glory of our God. Praise the Lord. So thankful for it. And we're supposed to do everything we do for the glory of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 31. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Hey, whatever I do, I'm supposed to give glory to God. Hey, if I live, if I do sports, if I work a job, whatever I'm to do, we're to give glory and honor to our Savior. Amen. Glorify God. I was created by Him and for Him. Brother Gray did a wonderful job that Wednesday night. I'm preaching on Exodus chapter number 21, where the Hebrew servant had an opportunity, the master would buy him. And then at the end of the 7 years, that servant could go out free. He could just leave and no more obligations. The contract was up. But he did a wonderful job. And it says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him under the judges. He shall also bring him under the door or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Forever. That's, God wants us to love him. God wants us to serve him. Then the loyalty comes, God, I'm going to serve you forever. Until death. You know, we make a pledge to, I made that pledge to my wife. Beeville, Texas, almost 31 years ago, she put a ring on my finger. I put a ring on her finger. And I think my dad says, repeat after me. I, John Swope, do promise to love, honor, and cherish you, my wife, my future wife, until death do us part. I made that vow to her, another human being, and she made the same to me. I promise to love, honor, cherish, rub your feet, put, you know, change the oil in the car, paint the ceiling, you know, do anything. No, she didn't say that. I promise to do that till death do us part. So if we make that commitment to another human being, you're like, do I really have to serve God forever? No, that's the loyalty that we ought to vow. God, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to glorify you forever until we go home to be with the Lord and spend eternity with you. The glory of God. Look in Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Look at this. Can you imagine Stephen when he was stoned? He looked up in Acts chapter 7, in verse number 55, says, But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He saw the glory of Almighty God. And so we're supposed to serve Him. We're supposed to love Him. We're supposed to glorify Him. And just, and how am I supposed to do that? Well, there's two places I want to go. First, go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at this, chapter 4, and verse number 4, Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Anybody there? What's the next word? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. How many of us are happy when we get up? God, so glad you're faithful. So glad you're there. God, I love you. I want to serve you today. I want to please you today. I want everything I do and say and my heart's desire and what I do today to bring honor and glory and praise to you. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just supposed to rejoice in the Lord. You know, if you have your hopes in a basketball team, a football team, a hockey team, it's going to go up and down. Oh, they won. Oh, they lost. Oh, they won. Oh, they lost. In the stock market. Oh, it's up. It's down. It's up. It's down. Mankind. But rejoice in the Lord always. Then go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look in verse number 16. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. Give thanks. God says He's worthy to receive honor and glory and praise. So, rejoice in the Lord always. Giving of thanks. Is there anything today that you could probably say I'm not thankful for? About gas prices? It's 50 cents higher than it was. Well, we can gripe and complain and bellyache, but guess what? We ought to give thanks. I give thanks. So God wants us to love Him. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to give Him glory, to give Him loyalty. And I'll read Psalms 50 one more time and I'll be done. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. To the Most High. I ought to do it out of a heart. Instead of, well, here's my sacrifice, God. Here I am at church. Here I am. God, I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to pray. I got to check off my Bible reading. God, I'm here. Ought to be a heart. Lord, I'm coming to You because I'm thankful. Because I love You and I'm thankful. And I want You to be glorified in my life. What did Paul say? Rather by life or by death? He says, I think He was willing, God, I want You to be glorified in whatever situation. Sometimes we get upset, accidents, things. Brother Joel got hurt yesterday trying to help us. If y'all see the other guy, he's still in the hospital. No. Our carpet roller, he opened the door and it came and popped him on the eye. Pray for him, make sure everything's okay. But Paul said, I'm willing. God, I want You to be glorified, whether it be by life or by death or whatever. And if you're saved this morning, we ought to say, God, I want to offer You. I'm not just going to bring sacrifice. I'm not just going to show up at church. God, I want to serve You from the heart. It's not just the sacrifice that You're interested in. It's the heart that's bringing the sacrifice, the gratitude, the praise, the glorifying God that comes from the heart. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to serve Him. And He wants there to be a loyalty for God to get the honor and glory and praise for everything. And you can't do that unless you're saved. Unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Unless there's been a time when you knew you were a sinner and you knew you were on your way to hell, but you accepted Christ as your personal Savior because you believed that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for your sins. Do you remember the place? You may not remember the exact time, but do you remember the place you got saved? And you called upon the name of the Lord to save you. If not, you need to get saved this morning. And if you are saved, then God deserves. Thou art worthy. We were created by God and for Him. Not for ourselves. Not for a sports team. Not for a job. Not for a person. But for Him. Love Him. Serve Him. And let everything you do bring honor and glory and praise to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You this morning. God, we certainly love You this morning. So thankful that You love us. God, I pray this morning that if there's someone in this auditorium that does not know You as their personal Savior, they can't remember a time and a place that they knew they were a sinner and they believed the gospel and they ask You to forgive them of their sins and God, ask You into their hearts. God, I pray they might come and get saved this morning. God, I pray for those of us that are saved. God, that we might realize it's not just coming to church or carrying a Bible and doing the sacrifices, but God, it's the heart of gratitude and praise and honor and glory that we bring. And God, you see the heart. So I pray that you might bless this invitation this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? The piano begins to play and Brother Philip begins to sing. I don't know what's on your heart, but maybe you just need to come and do business with the Lord. And if you're not saved, why don't you come and get saved this morning? Just start that relationship. God wants to have that relationship, that fellowship with you this morning.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Why was I created? By
He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him.
Well, preacher, I'm here this morning. I'm trying to get my sacrifice.
Now.
He's pleased. He's looking at the heart.
He will save you. Will save
God already owns
you.
Everything.
He will save
he
you
now.
Need
to sacrifice in and of itself.
Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way
worship
that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you.
Seated quietly while these are here still at the altar. Thank you. Where's Brother Dilly? Brother Dilly, Brother Dilly.
I just walked out.
Okay. Sister Atkins, you want to go out the front? Have the buses come? Okay. All right. We'll have the buses come out front. So all the kids, if you rode the bus, you don't have to go out the back door. They'll pick you up here. Somebody's made that a workshop back there. I don't know. It's still not all cleaned up. So. I love our hymns, hymn books. Songs and hymns. What? From the heart. From the heart. It's one reason I liked it. And we sang verse 20, page 23, to God be the glory. But 24, God is so good. Love it. Love our. When you pick your song hymnal up, you got to say, I'm singing unto the Lord. I'm not singing to help preacher not sound so bad. I'm not singing to anybody else. I'm singing from my heart to the Lord. There's some good songs in here. And when we do, sing from your heart. Sing just audience of you and God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. God is so good. How firm a foundation. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. There's power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? Saved by the blood. And you ought to just, you and God, audience. He just sing from the heart. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate you. And those of you who helped this week, thank you. I know life is busy, but we could not have done what we got done without everybody pitching in and help. And we still have plenty to do this week. And looking forward to next Sunday. Hope and pray you'll be here next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. Brother Davidson will be here. Calvary Trio will be here. The Witness Group from Heartland Baptist Bible College will be here. And 2 o'clock service next Sunday afternoon. Then the preacher's meeting at 6:30 Monday night, not 7. And then the preacher's meeting 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And then Tuesday night, Wednesday night, revival at 7 o'clock. So let's all stand. And we'll be dismissed. Good to have Brother Olson with us. So Brother Olson, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?